And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and we are live today. I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, February 21st, 2022. Hi, Butch.
Hi, Miss Melody. How are you today?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
It's President's Day, three-day holiday.
Yes, it is. It's a beautiful day down here in the hills, about 68 degrees and sunshining, so I'm happy with that.
It was sunshiny today, windy. We golfed and got a little chilly out there. Our offices were closed for the day, and so got a little nippy out there towards the end, but... we're here and we're live.
I'm glad that you enjoy golfing. That's a good recreation. I never tried that. I'm glad you enjoy that. That's good.
Yeah, it's fun.
We all need a release once in a while. We really do. We truly do.
Yes.
With me, it's taking a ride down through the woods, enjoying nature. That's what I like to do to release my tension. But I'm glad you enjoy golf.
Well, I enjoy doing that, too. There's lots of things I could do to, you know. But anyway... markets were closed today. There was some electronic trading going on, so we have gold up $4 in that market. 1904, I would expect it to follow through tomorrow. Silver was down a penny at 24.02. So banks and markets were closed today, so not a whole lot going on. I don't know. Biden is set to order sanctions on separatist regions of Ukraine. After Putin decree, EU vows additional measures. So this was said this afternoon, and the White House said it was ready to respond immediately to Putin's decision to recognize the independence of two breakaway regions of eastern Ukraine. So they got slapped with sanctions, I guess. Jen Psaki, the press secretary, said Biden would sign an executive order that would prohibit new investment, trade, and financing by U.S. persons to, from, or in the so-called Donetsk People's Republic and Luhansk People's Republic regions of Ukraine. I actually heard a comment. They were interviewing somebody in the street in Ukraine, and they actually said the Russians are better than the Ukrainians. So, you know, who knows what's going on over there, who wants to be where and who wants to do what, but those guys got sanctions put on them today. And I guess that's the beginning of sanctions.
It is. Yeah, I guess it is. And I have a couple brief articles sharing this issue also. I don't know what's happened, but everybody I think listening to the program knows who Rob West is, and fine gentleman. Sent me a catch with a video of Putin supposedly speaking about the corner he's been kind of pushed into. And I see his point. And I wish I could believe our news media, Melody. I wish I could believe our news media. I haven't done that for many years. I don't trust them for good morning. I truly don't. So I don't know. I know they're most of the time at least half lying to us, if not all the way lying to us. So what's happening over there for sure, I don't know. We hear from different positions, but we're not on the site, so we really can't say. But said Russia planned the biggest war in Europe since 1945. This is from Boris Johnson. When Boris Johnson and his people need to understand the sheer cost in human life war could entail. Evidence suggests Russia is planning the biggest war in Europe since 1945, Prime Minister Boris Johnson has said. He told the BBC Sophie Raworth in an interview, all the signs are that the plan has already in some senses begun. Intelligence suggests Russia intends to launch an invasion that will encircle Ukrainian capital Kyiv, Mr. Johnson said. People need to understand the sheer cost in human life that could entail. The Prime Minister was speaking from Munich, where world leaders are meeting for an annual security conference. The latest estimates by the U.S. government suggest that between 169,000 and 190,000 Russian troops are stationed along the Ukraine border, both in Russia and neighboring Belarus. But this figure also includes rebels in eastern Ukraine. Mr. Johnson warned that any conflict could be bloody and protracted, said Russian President Vladimir Putin was possibly thinking illogically about this and did not see the disaster ahead. I think it's vital for us all now to get over what a catastrophe it could be for Russia, he added. He indicated that UK and US would bring further sanctions against Russia than have been suggested before, including stopping his companies trading in pounds and dollars, a move that he would hit very, 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 very hard. I don't know what to tell you, folks. Take the grain of salt, I guess. I mean, this is like Ripley, believe it or not. Who do you believe? I don't know. The U.S. warns that Moscow has compiled lists of Ukrainians to target after invasion. Russia has compiled lists of Ukrainians to target the invasion, a U.S. official has said, as President Vladimir Putin is set to address his country's Security Council. In a letter to the UN's human rights chief, seen by NBC News, U.S. Ambassador to the UN, Bathsheba Nail Crocker, said the U.S. had credible information that Russia has compiled lists of Ukrainians to be killed or sent to camps following an invasion. The contents of the letter were first reported Sunday evening by the Washington Post. We also have credible information that Russian forces will likely use lethal measures to disperse peaceful protests or otherwise counter peaceful exercises of perceived resistance from the civilian populations. They've been doing that in Canada, folks, last week. But anyway, the Kremlin refuted Crocker's accusations on Monday, dubbing reports that Russia had drawn up such a list as fiction when asked about it by reporters. You do not understand that this is an absolute fake. That is a lie, he said. So, okay. Both sides call each other liars. Who do you believe? You know, for many, many years, Melody, we were taught that Russia was an evil empire. We can't trust them at all. The U.S. was always a good guys, and we believed that. They wore the white hats and rode the white horses. Obviously, the U.S. has been proven not to be a good guy all the time, and Russia maybe not so bad. So, which way do you go?
Well, you know, most likely they both have some bad, they both have some good. Who knows?
Yep.
I can't imagine, you know, I mean, once you know who people are and so forth, I mean, yeah, we know who Russia is. It's Russia's Russia, you know, and we are the good people. We're supposed to be, but we've done some very nasty things around the world. And so, I don't know. Were there ever any good guys? My question, were there ever any good guys?
Well, I think you have pretty much right at the beginning. There are some good and some bad both sides. We know that. That's always been true about every war. There have been atrocities in every war since the beginning. You know, war is war. And some people enjoy war, Melody. Some make fortunes off of it.
Yep.
Some enjoy the violence part of it. Some people actually enjoy killing. I know it's hard for you and I to believe that, but they do. I was explaining to a doctor that kill a baby for a pay. But anyway, these are things that we have to understand. There are no necessarily good guys in a war all the time. There's give and take both ways. And with our record of news broadcasting in this country over the last 30, 40, 50 years, and probably longer than that, I just remember those few years, I can't trust them. I mean, Johnson got us involved in a war that took several of my friends out when we just got out of high school because of a lie about the Gulf of Tonkin incident, which never happened. We know Roosevelt knew about the bombing of Pearl Harbor before it happened, never told anybody. He called the ships in so they could be bombed to get people in the country in the mood for fighting, for going to war. So who do we trust? These are situations that it's hard to discern, and I don't want to go to war on a lie. And if Russia is only protecting its interests and doesn't want Ukraine to join the NATO, no, I can understand that. I don't think we want Mexico and South America to join with the Russian group either. I mean, the European Eastern European group. That would be something we would not want either on a doorstep. So this is a kind of a complex situation.
Yes, it is. And so I don't know, you know, whatever is going to get done, I just wish they'd do it. And, you know, my biggest concern is, you know, this is really a big hype coming from the media and coming from D.C. And, you know, I have no idea where this is going to head.
I don't either, but I don't. I know for sure America is not ready for an all-out war with Russia. No way. If China would join them, then it's good night to us. It's, folks, I don't mean to make you feel bad, but we're not ready for that at all. Haven't been for a long time. But we move on now. Just keep your eyes on what's happening. Take what you hear on our news with, I said, with a grain of salt. Double check it, triple check it if you can. Don't believe everything you hear from either side. We're caught in between. We don't know either way because we're not involved personally, so we really can't say. Now, if you want, we'll move on to the economic situation because Russia is going to be whatever it is. It's going to happen sooner or later. So far, I have seen a lot of talk from both sides, mostly from America and how bad Russia is going to be when they invade. I haven't seen any evidence of that yet that I can confirm, only what pictures were shown on ABC News. So do I trust that? Not really. No, I don't. But anyway, Peter Schiff wrote a pretty good article here that's entitled, The Fed is Running Out of Minutes. The Federal Reserve released the minutes from its January FOMC meeting on Wednesday, February 16th. While there was some talk about taking on inflation, it doesn't appear the central bank is really serious about the inflation fight. In his podcast, Peter Schiff talked about the most recent inflation data and the Fed's response. He said the central bank is quickly running out of minutes. Gold has rallied to 8-month highs, even with some selling after the situation in Ukraine seemed to be de-escalate. But as Peter noted, geopolitical tension was not the real driver of this gold rally. It's the inflation freight train. And folks, that's true. Believe me, that's true. Underlying trend has nothing to do with that threat. The real threat is inflation. That's why investors are buying gold. That's why they are about to dip on Tuesday, and we rose to new highs on Wednesday because we got a lot more inflation data. Specifically, we got the producer price data for January. They doubled expectation up to a full 1%. That means that if we continue this pace, the inflation that we'll show in the books will be 12% this year. We know it'll be double that with actual figures. But 12%? Initially, gold sold off on the news. Traders will still have that Pavlovian dog-type reflex to respond to any kind of higher-than-expected inflation data by selling gold. Why are they selling when they should be buying? Because they look at these high inflation numbers as a sign that the Fed is now going to do something about inflation. Oh, the Fed wasn't worried, and now they're going to do something? So we better sell gold because the Fed's going to jack up rates? The Fed is not going to do anything. I mean, they may do something, but it's not going to be enough to fight inflation. It's not going to be enough to hurt gold. First, the Fed presented that there wasn't any inflation. Then the Fed pretended inflation was transitory. Now the central bankers are pretending that they're going to fight it. They're not going to fight it. If they could have fought inflation, they would have started the fight a long time ago. They would never have allowed the inflation genie to get this far out of the bottle if they had a way to keep it inside. The reason they didn't fight inflation is because they can't, because fighting inflation would collapse a bubble economy. Well, if they couldn't fight inflation when it was smaller, they sure can't fight it now because it's much bigger. Peter said investors should be buying gold with both hands, and they will when they actually understand the box that the Fed has placed us in. And folks, that's the key. The Fed, maybe it was a big cause of it, but we're the ones going to pay for it. You and I, we're going to pay for it. Inflation and all minor situations out of this, we're going to pay for it as a country. We're going to pay for it. And gold and silver is still the safest bet you can have. Now, Schiff pretty well covered it pretty straightforwardly. It can't be fixed. Forget it. It can't be fixed. It will not be fixed. Not the way they've done it in the past. It will not be fixed again. Do they have a new genie in the bottle? Perhaps. I don't know what it's going to be. This is a great reset, which will not be fixed without hurting a lot of people. A lot of us could really be hurt by that. So Peter told the truth. The Fed has pretty much lost control, Melody. If they raise the rate 2%, that's going to stifle growth a lot and cause a lot of situations. If they go beyond that, what they would almost have to do to slow it down, it'll destroy the economy. So there's no way that I can see out of this an easy way. Can you?
No. I mean, we've said that how many times on this program?
Oh, my gosh.
You know? So, yes, Peter agrees with us. I mean, there's something, you know, the Fed's between a rock and a hard place. Government needs inflation, want inflation. We've got it. It's not going away. We've had inflation for, you know, for almost 100 years, since they took us off the gold and silver standard. We've had, you know, when they confiscated gold so many years ago, that's when it all began. It's not going away. There's nothing the Fed can do about it. They might be able to tame it here and there, but they've gone past that point. You can't carry, and they can't raise rates significantly enough to curb inflation because they can't service the debt with the higher rates. So, you know, it's the whole point when Biden, when not Biden, but when Trump was after Powell to lower rates, it was because the corporations couldn't service their debt with those higher rates. Government couldn't service their debt with those higher rates. That's why he was squawking. That's why they needed the lower rates. Sure, the consumer out there felt it too. That wasn't the big reason. So, yeah, they can't do much. Inflation is always here. It doesn't go away. Even if prices go down a little bit, we still have inflation. It can't go away. It's in our system. It's in our financial system.
Yes, it is.
And our financial system is corrupt. It's broke. It's bankrupt. It's only functioning based on the amount of dollars that are still floating around out there. That's keeping the system going. And it takes more and more of those dollars. So, I don't know.
Well,
so inflation is here to stay.
When you have the number checkers changing the way they calculate inflation 12 times over the last 30 years, 40 years, whatever, how do you trust them with that? If it's 7.5% and it's been dabbled with at least 12 times, I mean, closer according to the actual figures, over 15%. If sorry, already going heading for 12% this year, at 1% a month. If it continues that, it'll continue that and more. I'm sure. Where do you go, folks? You better find something safe. It's not in your paper dollars. It's not going to be in your IRAs, 401ks. Those will be eaten out also. Yeah, gold could take a hit, but you still have something in your hand, tangible, that's worth something. If paper goes to nothing and it's all on paper, you get something sort of far with. That's about it. That's what you got. And this is reality, folks. This is no longer a game we can play here. This is reality. Reality. Go ahead.
The only thing the government can do is default on our debt. That's all they can do. That's all they will do. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned because we will be going to a break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk Radio. CommonSenseVoicesOfIntegrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. 1-800-375-4188. But the offices are closed today, so don't call today. But you can call and leave a message. I'll be working here a little bit right after 5 o'clock, right after the program for just a little bit. 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. What's next, Butch?
Okay. We were talking during the break there, folks, and no matter what I say, I get laughed at, so I'm used to that.
That's not true. He's pulling your legs out there, ladies and gentlemen. That's not true.
Anyway, just because I'm a hillbilly, but anyway.
Yeah. You use that way too often.
Well, but, okay, I can't argue what I am, though. Gee whiz, but... Californians pay record high gas prices. Folks, listen, another record high of gas. As pump pains send Biden's approval rating lower. Expensive crude means more pain at the pump. West Texas Intermediate bouncing between $90 and $95 a barrel. Crude products such as gasoline and diesel will remain in an upward trajectory. According to the American Automobile Association, the average price of a gallon of gasoline in California stands around $4.79 per gallon on Wednesday, surpassing a previous record on November 27. That's higher than national average, which stands around $3.52, an increase of more than 40% since the same time last year when it was $2.50 a gallon. Now, folks, think about that. 40%. Almost half again what it was a year ago. I have a picture of a pump in California. It says, customers, please pay first. I guess the guy went inside, gave him a debit card or something. He pumped 26.004 gallons of gasoline, and his total for the 26 gallons is $103.99. Wow. I mean, when it went to $1 a gallon back in the 70s, I thought it was ridiculous. But 103.99 to put 26 gallon gasoline in somebody's vehicle. And if they were like a lot of people working, Americans that drive to work back and forth any distance at all, it hurts. Does it not, Melody?
Yes, it can.
And I'm going to ask you this question. I asked during the break, I'm asking on the air here too. The U.S. will be a net oil importer in 2022. Higher net crude oil imports are set to make the United States a net petroleum importer this year again, as in 2021, after a historic shift of being a net petroleum exporter in 2020. A net petroleum importer is a country that imports more crude oil and refined products than the crude and products it exports. When the U.S. has been a net petroleum products exporter for more than a decade, it has always been a net crude oil importer, that is, it imports more crude than it exports. The total crude petroleum products trademarked a historic shift to 2020 when the U.S. became a net petroleum exporter. On a monthly basis, it was in September 2019, the United States exported more crude oil and petroleum products than it imported. The first month in which America was a net petroleum exporter since monthly report records began in 1973. So since 1973, you had the first month as a petroleum exporter in 2019. Now, I know this is really a silly question, but if we're shipping crude and refined products overseas, but we're shipping more back into our country, why don't we keep our own goods here and take care of ourselves and see that we have what we need here in this country? That, to me, that's a common sense question. If I was selling food to buy more food, Why wouldn't it feed myself first and then worry about the rest of it later? I don't understand this. This isn't making sense to me. Of course, I understand it's like we can't produce enough food anymore. We're cutting the farmers out. We're destroying the farmers. We know that. We can't produce our own medicine. We now get 80% of our medicine from China. We don't produce our own clothing. We don't produce our own automobiles. We don't produce anything in America as a whole anymore. We don't do it. But now we're still producing oil, crude, and refined oil products. We're shipping them out, shipping more back in. I don't understand that. I just don't. Why don't we keep what we have here? If we had to buy more, that's fine. But why don't we keep some of it here and use it and put our own workers to work and more manufacturing jobs here? That, to me, makes more sense. Maybe I'm just silly, but the question's on my mind. Why do we keep doing that? We fed ourselves, clothed our house, fueled ourselves for decades and decades. Why do we let that go away? Why can we no longer, as Americans, feed ourselves, clothe ourselves, and house ourselves? Why can Americans, supposedly the greatest nation on the face of the earth, supposed to be the freest nation on the face of the earth, why can Americans, who have always been really genius at taking care of things and manufacturing things and inventing things, why can we no longer do that in America? Why does this happen to American initiative? Why does this happen to American common sense? Why can't we feed ourselves? I don't understand this longer, Billy. We could. Yes, we could.
Where we will.
Do what now?
That's the problem. We're past the point of what we will. We could.
We could.
But with all these great trade agreements that were created by our great politicians, they have to, those trade agreements, you saw what Trump went through. He tried, didn't do anything. You know? So it's not going to change or go back. That's the problem. Because nobody in D.C. has the willpower, the cojones, or whatever you want to call it, to do anything. They can't either. So how do we go back, Butch?
I don't see any way we can, Melody. Our infrastructure is too far gone. Well, we couldn't afford to build infrastructure. Yes, we cannot do that. We don't have any manufacturing facilities anymore.
They could put quotas on things. So you can't bring that stuff in here unless so much of it is made here in this country. So you can't use our consumers anymore to buy your crap. Trinkets.
There you go. Well, it is so frustrating.
No one will do it because they get paid off.
There you go. There you go. I remember years ago, Ross Perot was running. Was back in the 80s, I think. Ross Perot was running for office, and maybe early 90s. I don't remember when he ran. 80s, I think.
90s.
Maybe 90s. I don't remember. It's been so long. But nonetheless, everybody thought he was nuts. There's going to be a great sucking sound. We're going to lose everything here. Everyone thought he was nuts. Now, he called it right. We have lost our ability to take care of ourselves. And, folks, if you're dependent upon other nations to take care of you, other peoples, other cultures, maybe someone who disagrees with your culture, as China does with ours, if we trust them and need them to take care of us, we're treading on very thin ice, are we not, Melody?
We are.
So this is why if we have to happen to, God forbid, go to war with Russia and or China, folks, we're not ready for that. Not even close. We couldn't make our own medicine. I'm not making it up. Look for yourself. China makes 80% of her medicine from America. And yet people fuss because they're buying goods from China. They're inferior goods. But we're taking medicine made from them? We can trust that to be good? Gosh. Go ahead, Mel. Let's say something, then I'll go on. But I don't get it.
No, I mean, I get, but, you know, we can't compete. There's no way we can compete. And government, you know, when you have, you know, corporate welfare and you have, you know, these multinational, our government anymore doesn't exist. Our government is the multinational corporations. That's who runs things.
That's very true. And our government decisions are not basically made in Washington. They're made on a worldwide corporate board, are they not?
Yeah.
So, you're right.
You know, and yet, and we get to the point where the people of this country, hey, as long as we can have somewhat of a life, feed their kids, put them through school, the best people can, you know, people don't see. You think things are good. We've lost what is really good You know, we've fed this illusion. And that's what it is, an illusion. And it is like two different worlds. And well, it really is amazing.
It is amazing.
And I don't know why people don't care. When people do care, what can we do about it? Nothing. It's going to run its course. The only thing that you can do is plan and prepare.
That's it. I agree. I totally agree. But, you know, it really is frustrating when you understand, we should understand this. You cannot be a dependent on anyone or anything or any place and be a totally free individual. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely.
So, folks, we're not a free country. Haven't been for a long time. We're not a free nation. We're chained down by corporate taxes and prices and deeds, and we're chained down by the idea that we've lost our desire to be independent and to feed ourselves, clothe ourselves, and make sure we're okay. We lost that. We all have. I said, not just Jim, not throwing stones. We all have. Can you imagine if we had to do with electricity for 5 or 6 months? People can make it 5 or 6 weeks. Mom can make 5 or 6 days. What if we had no electricity? How would you get by? How would you function? Folks, we become dependent on these things, and it's been wonderful. It's so convenient to walk in, flip on a switch, and have heat and hot water and cook. Oh, that's great. I'm not knocking the idea. It's a good idea. But if we become totally dependent on it and somebody cuts off the supply line, how are we going to have hot water? Back the old-fashioned way, how are you going to heat it? How are you going to cook if you don't have any other way to cook? How are you going to heat your home? These are comments, hence questions to think about. We should have considered a long time ago. Anything you want to add to that, Melody?
No, I think I've said enough.
And I want this next article, I'm going to share a partial article. One of mine and Melody's pet peeves is called property taxes. Property taxes. There you go. This a very good article. This next article, folks, will be out there in this month's in March's magazine, the full article, but it's very well written. You can never be free when you cannot own, O-W-N. And, folks, you can never own anything that you think you own, not your home, not your car, not anything. The most evil of all taxes, the tax on property, is evil not so much because it takes, but rather because of what it precludes. Repeat that. Not so much because of what it takes, but rather because of what it precludes. That being even the possibility of ever owning your home and land, which is of course precisely what this tax is meant to do. The money stealing being an incidental benefit to the government which steals it. The real benefit to the government is establishing the principle and the fact that no one will ever be able to fully, truly own their home and land. That the government owns all land. The property tax establishes a proper relationship that of renter and landlord, the government being the lord of the land. This analogy is historically accurate, as a property tax dates back to feudal times, when the lord, the medieval era's equivalent of a county supervisor today, sent an assessor to gauge a landowner's ability to pay. How many of you ever had an assessor come to your home and look at your home and your property and ask about your cars and whatever you may have? And now they do it by sky. They don't come home anymore. They come over with the drones and take pictures of your property and assess you on that. They don't come over and check it out anymore. They don't have to. You put an issue in your home, they're going to see it. You put an outbuilding out there, they're going to see it. Yes, folks, they'll charge you for outbuildings also. This was based on the value of the land and other holdings. Thus was the principle established that the Lord, and not you, fundamentally owned the land, which you were permitted to retain possession of so long as you paid the taxes demanded, establishing your status as a tenant. Oh, that makes me angry, but he's telling the truth. He's telling the truth. The loathsome business migrated to Great Britain's American colonies, and startlingly, it was not done away with when the colonies became independent from Great Britain. Like chattel slavery, the property tax was not confronted by the founding generation as preposterously antithetical to the core ideas expressed by the Declaration of Independence. Well, implied by it anyway. And therein lies the rub. The Declaration is poetry, not straight talk. Jefferson wrote beautifully, but not imprecisely. The pursuit of happiness sounds wonderful, but what does it mean exactly? How does one which reach a state of happiness when one is perpetually beholden to the lamprey that is the government? How can one object to the ugly practice of owning human beings when the government lays claim to the property of human beings? Put another way, if it's wrong to own another human being, then how can it be right to assert ownership over another human being's property? Wow. Chattel slavery, the obvious form of slavery, made many of the slave-owning founders, among them Jefferson, uneasy. For he understood the contradiction, the hypocrisy of writing poetry about freedom while denying it to some people. What they did not understand, most of them, Jefferson may have, was that by carrying on the British feudal tradition of taxing a man's home and the land he sits on, they denied real freedom to everyone. That's just part of the article. But that's a very well-written article. It makes a very strong, solid point, my friends. We do not own what we think we own. We never will own our land and property. As long as you pay the state whatever they say it's worth for this next year, and mine's went up a lot over the last few years, as long as you pay them, you're allowed to stay there and maintain their property. You can put a new roof on their property with their permission, of course. You got to get permission. You can add a room to their property with their permission. You can buy things with their permission and to add them to the property. Here, where we live in West Virginia, we're not zoned. I can do what I want to. Nobody asking questions. But whatever I add to the property only adds to the value of the king's property. I get to keep it as long as I pay my rent to the king. That is not fair. It's not right. Been that way in the country since the beginning. So here we are, folks, just on the same path. Jefferson, the idea of the pursuit of happiness, meant Jefferson interpreted to be the right to own property. But we do not have a right to own property. Anything you want to add to that, Melody?
No, we're just slaves, aren't we?
We truly are. I know, we got it made, folks. You got a nice home, you got a nice place to sleep. Thank God for that. But it's not really yours.
Nope.
It's not really yours. You can jump up, down, scream, and squall all you want to, but the fact is, it's not yours. They will come and take it. If you owe $1,000 in back taxes, they will sell your house, bid it, auction it off.
$1,000? $50?
Yeah, well, yeah, anything. Any amount.
Any amount.
They'll take you home and auction off for that tax and kick you out of it and put you on the streets. Now, that's a fact. And you think we're walking around as free men in this country. No, doesn't work that way. Oh, gracious. I didn't mean to take it long with that, Melody, but it's so important. It makes me angry from top to bottom.
It does. That's my pet peeve. And anyway, my pet peeve is we're heading into another break. I got a couple of pet peeves, so we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk Radio. CommonSenseVoices.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Butch Paul. It is Monday, February 21st. And what's next for us, Butch?
Well, we've got a week to go in the month. Just a week to go. We'll be through February.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
This, again, is financial information that we're seeing happen. Even in our local area, West Virginia is not known to be a financially rich state as far as incomes or not, but that doesn't change the fact that everything's going up anyway with us also. Rents reach insane levels across U.S. with no end in sight. Now, I'm seeing that right here. I mean, ridiculous what a one-room apartment costs around here anymore. It's just absolutely ridiculous. But Crystal Gurria's Miami apartment has a tiny kitchen, cracked tiles, warped cabinets, no dishwasher, and hardly any storage space. But Gurria was found with the apartment shortcomings. It was all part of being a 32-year-old graduate student in South Florida, she reasoned, and she was happy to live there for a few more years as she finished her marketing degree. That was until a new owner bought the property and told her that he was raising the rent. Now, listen to this, Billy. This is the rent it was, $1,550 a month. Can you imagine that? Wow. To
$1,950. Is that the rent, or is that what he's raising it?
No, that's what the rent was, $1,550 a month.
Yeah, that's pretty much an average rent.
And he's raised it in 1950. I can't imagine that. You could buy a huge house that in some places. But anyway, he raised it in 1950, a 26% increase that Gurria said meant her rent would account for the majority of her take-home pay from the University of Miami. I thought this was insane, said Gurria, who decided to move out. And am I supposed to stop paying for everything else I have going on with my life just so I can pay rent? That's unsustainable. Gurria is hardly alone. Rents have exploded across the country, causing many to dig deep into their savings, downsize to subpar units, or fall behind on payments and risk eviction now that federal moratorium has ended. In the 50 largest U.S. metro cities, median rent rose an astounding 19.3% from December 2020 to December 2021, according to Realtor.com analysis of properties with two or fewer bedrooms. And nowhere was the jump bigger than the Miami metro area, where the median rent exploded 49.8% higher than the previous year. Wow. Mm-hmm. And you say $1,550 is average rent where you are for a small apartment?
Oh, well, I think it's everywhere.
Not quite that bad here.
Well,
that's what most people make
West
here in a month.
Maybe not West Virginia, but I mean in...
well, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is.
You know, that's probably a two-bedroom apartment.
Wow. I can't imagine that. That is absolutely, and I know if I had lived on what I was earning when I was working full time, I couldn't afford that kind of money. I couldn't do it. Thank God I was able to purchase a little country home and pay it off, but no, I couldn't do it. That was way beyond my reach. This next article, nobody's going to believe it. I'm going to share it anyway. Shock gas, grocery price hikes, spur states to pursue tax relief. Let's back up and say that again. We're in such a tight spot, the states will give us a break on our taxes. Now, anybody believes that, raise your hand. They may do it somewhere, folks, but they'll get it back somewhere else, I promise you that. Rapidly climbing inflation in the U.S. is accelerating calls from governors and state leaders to provide immediate tax relief to cash-strapped residents facing higher prices on everyday products such as gas, milk, and electricity. The governors of Maine and Kentucky this week joined a sweeping number of states, including Illinois, California, Massachusetts, Florida, Alabama, Washington, and Missouri, We're considering offering quick but temporary, you know it's temporary, relief to taxpayers crushed by relentless surge in inflation in recent months. The Consumer Price Index, which measures what Americans pay for goods and services, reached another 40-year high last month, soaring 7.5% due to strong consumer demand and pandemic-related supply disruptions. The swift bipartisan action by state leaders over the past few weeks comes as congressional Democrats in Washington are rushing to line up legislation that addresses rising gas, medical, and food costs ahead of the midterm elections. Democrats and Republicans, I hadn't thought about that. It is midterm elections. Yes, okay. Democrat and Republican states flush with cash due to higher than expected tax revenue, a soaring stock market, and means an unspent federal pandemic aid have been eager to move quickly to return surpluses back to taxpayers. 2022 is shaping up to be the year of bipartisan tax relief, said Jared Waschak, vice president of state projects and for the Tax Foundation. Across the board, we're seeing lawmakers trying to find ways to reduce tax burdens. Wouldn't that be wonderful if that would happen and it would last for a while?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, I like to think that they're really doing it and they're really they're concerned about us and want to fix something for us, help us with this. I really would like to think it. And maybe some of them really, really do.
Mm-hmm.
But states keep growing, their budgets keep growing, so they have to keep raising taxes. Mm-hmm. Inflation affects them also, does it not?
It does.
So maybe temporarily I would say yes, they may do something. But I can't see them doing it very long. I can't sort of, I mean, but that's, I guess that's a good thought.
Well, I wouldn't hold my breath.
No, I'm not. But it made a good point, though, this midterm elections. So
it's just words.
Oh, it is. You're true. It's true.
No,
but it sounds good, doesn't it?
They don't have to do anything. Sounds good. Get you elected. Might get you elected and so forth, but.
we're getting out of time quickly here. We'll see what's happening in Canada. Folks, it's really a mess. It's a sad situation to our neighbors up north. Sad situation. Now, folks, we're not talking about China or Russia or anywhere else in the world. We're talking about our northern neighbors, right up north of us a few hours. Canada is under martial law. And doesn't look like they're going to relent anytime soon, if ever. And I'm going to explain it to you just a minute. But Trudeau has went insane. I mean, really insane with his so-called newfound powers. He's not only attacking truckers and people in the streets with cops on horseback running over old ladies. That's a true fact, folks. We're seeing things happen in Canada. Again, that's just north of us. It's once considered a free society. It's about Underton. On tonight's broadcast, I have a brother of the pastor, Arthur Pulaski, who's been in prison now for about the last 2 weeks, again in Canada. He'll be discussing what's going on with his brother. And for 2 days, he wouldn't give his brother a drink of water. Now, folks, this is true. But fascist Trudeau isn't happy just seizing protesters' bank accounts. Now, listen, I'm not making this up. He's now threatening to kill their dogs. I know, but I'm not lying. Fascism should be appropriately be called corporatism because it is the merger of state and corporate power. Guess who said that? Benito Mussolini. And he's right. Trudeau's fascist government is joining with banks to seize accounts of truckers, especially if they are pro-Trump, which could be awesome, as simple as supporting Give, Send, Go. They warned that their children will be put into foster care. They will seize their trucks in an asset forfeiture and will take their driver's license. Truckers are also face arrest. Additionally, they've been warned that they will euthanize their dogs. I'm not making this up. This is true. On top of that, the Trudeau fascists, with the help of a sketchy finance minister, are threatening to seize the accounts of donors. At least one donor lost her government job by donating $100. Others are reportedly being fired and vilified. The state's media is bragging about using hacked data to harm their own fellow Canadian citizens. It's gone beyond truckers to anyone who donated or helped them in any way. It's not only bank accounts. It's not only in any account to include financial entities like credit unions, co-ops, loan companies, trusts, cryptocurrency platforms, or credit cards. The fascists are defining designated persons as anyone who directly or indirectly helped the truckers. They are ordering the entities to cancel these people. This is the very definition of fascism. Wow, Melody. Isn't that something?
It really amazes me that they are going to the lengths that they're going. And again, you know, when you block, you know, business and commerce and something, that's, you know, but what he is doing, and yet I know they rerouted, so it wasn't like it was blocked off 100%, but I tell you what, it's shocking. What is happening to these people?
It is.
I even heard what they're going to do now that they have the trucks. They're going to sell them.
Oh yeah, they're going to
sell.
Yes, they are. Yes, they're going to sell them. Yes, I did read that. Yes, I did.
And it's like, I think they've made their point. People I read where somebody donated a lousy $50 and their accounts are frozen.
Yep.
And to me, what's scary is that they can, it's amazing. It's shocking. This is Canada. We've got Canadian listeners, and I know you can't call in.
I know that to be true. And listen to
this.
Canada.
But you know what? He's using the Emergency Act.
Oh, he is. That's called police state down here.
We've got one.
We do.
President signs it. Every new president signs it.
And it goes forward
in each to the next one.
Biden just signed again today.
But my point is, this is what they can do to us too.
Yes,
they can
folks,
take your property.
Yes, they can. Canada is now moving to make asset forfeiture. Now, listen, folks. Canada moves to make asset freezing under Emergency Act permanent. Permanent. Canada has moved to make the asset freezing part of the Emergency Act, which was used to target supporters of the Freedom Convoy protest, a permanent fixture. Wow. I mean, who saw this coming? I didn't. In order to stop what the Trudeau regime referred to as an illegal blockade, the government threatened to freeze the bank accounts of demonstrators and anyone who donated money to them. Under the Emergency Act, banks are required to freeze accounts without a court order, while all crowdfunding platforms and payments providers are mandated to provide information to FinTrack, Financial Transaction and Reports Analyst Center of Canada. Deputy Prime Minister Chrystia Freeland announced that many of the measures imposed temporarily to deal with the protesters, if they have been suitably demonized as violent extremists, will now become permanent. Trudeau's deputy Chrystia Freeland, who is also a director, pay attention, also a director of Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum, says she plans to make her emergency powers permanent. Make her, that's the word, wording, her emergency powers permanent. We used all the tools that we had prior to the invocation of the Emergencies Act, and we determined we needed some additional tools. Some of those tools, we will be putting forward measures to put those tools permanently in place. The authorities of FinTrack, I believe, do need to be expanded to cover crowdfunding platforms and payment platforms. Ronald Reagan has been proven right again. Nothing lasts longer than a temporary government program. Meanwhile, as we previously highlighted, that such measures are likely to exclude protected classes, basically anyone who isn't a native, Canadian, or white, with groups such as immigrants and refugees enjoying an exemption. This is in Canada. This Chrystia Freeland, who is a director with Klaus Schwab on the WEF, says that she's going to use her powers to make these things permanent, except for those who are exempted, like illegal aliens, non-native Canadians, and refugees. So she's going to do away with that. They won't be touched. But the Canadian citizens who are doing their best to maintain their country could have their assets seized permanently in the future. Melody, this is absolutely insane.
It truly is, and it's just not going to go away.
No, it's not. No, it's not. And I feel for them. I really do.
This is a lesson to all.
Yes, and look how easy it happened. Now, I'm not saying it's not over. I realize that. I know what's going to happen in the future up there. I have no idea. The Canadian people have been very patient. demonstrated they've been very peaceful, they've been very compliant, they've been very kind. But you push anyone far enough, Melody, to the point that it affects her, his wife and family, they're going to get upset, and rightfully so. Do you agree?
Well, I don't. I guess it depends.
Well, I would think there was somebody attacking my wife, I'd be upset.
You can get upset, but I mean, you kind of want your things back, so do you comply so you get your things back?
If they give them back, that's the key.
If they give them back.
And if they do give them back, how do you know when they can get them tomorrow? Just so they shut you up now.
Oh, I get it. I understand.
This is what's happening. I don't care if you live in Florida. You're not that far away from Canada. Folks, this is serious. It's right. This northern neighbors who were once a somewhat open, free society. They've been literally shut down under martial law. And we call it martial law. They call it Emergency Act. We call it the same thing, but it's what it boils down to, martial law. When the state can seize your assets and keep them and sell them and into perpetuity, do it to your children, how much liberty does that people have? How much freedom do they have left? Where do they go next? Here? It's happening here too, folks. It's coming to a neighborhood near you. Melody, I'm finished. You go ahead.
Well, I'm glad you're finished because we're just about out of time. So we'll be back tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. So thank you, Butch. We'll be back then. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.